on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sportscast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocho and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocho.
Live from Miami, Fort Lauderdale in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This is not Victor Orocho. He is on assignment. This is Santiago Leon. I am head of the sports cast and join us with the Jersey Boys, Byron Jones. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, and X and Apple Podcasts. We're also, today's date, it's April 11th, 2024. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can listen to us all day, every day. And you can visit our website, thesportscast.net. And also you can follow us on X or Instagram at thesportscast1. You can also check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Well, it's a beautiful April 11th here in Florida, and we got Byron Jones. Well, welcome back to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk.
Howdy. How you doing? And we had a beautiful – well, we had a beautiful last couple days in the 70s up here. So, you know, it's starting to get Alex, so it's getting a lot better, you know, with the weather up here. It's supposed to be like in the 70s all next week, so it's coming.
It's coming. Well, is it fact, here to stay?
I was in Philly. Oh, like last week. So, fun fact.
And join us, Alex Cork. Welcome back. It's been a few weeks. How you been?
I've been good. I just got back from WrestleMania down in Philly. I was there last week where it rained, and then it was kind of nice for a few days.
We'll definitely touch on that
later. You go get a cheesesteak. Did you go get a cheesesteak?
I got a few. Angelo's is probably the best one I had.
There you go, my man.
Why is Angelo's better than Pat's or Gino's? I think Gino's is the other one.
Because they're so touristy, man. You're both of them. Eh.
We didn't get a chance to do Pat's. Gino's felt like it was more like Steak'em was like kind of like the filling versus Angelo's felt like an actual cheesesteak.
Yes. But if you really want one, John's Roast Pork around the corner over there, that's where you needed to go. Oh, yeah.
Next time.
Provolone and some broccoli rabe in there. Woo-wee. Delicious.
Byron, you get money for that, right? For those promotions.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Before we begin, we got a word from our sponsors. Are you ready to accelerate your wealth and secure your family's legacy? Introducing VictorOrocho.com, your cash acceleration insurance expert. At VictorOrocho.com, we bring accountability to wealth creation inspired by Proverbs 13:22. Your family's financial future matters to us. Experience the power of debt-free life, our innovative insurance solution that not only protects but builds cash value over time. As your cash value grows, say goodbye to debt incrementally and watch your savings soar for a worry-free retirement, all without spending any extra money. With debt-free life, you're not just securing your future, you are creating a lasting legacy for your family, achieving financial freedom, and retiring with tax-favored income. Visit VictorOrocho.com for more information. That's VictorOrocho.com, where accountability meets prosperity. Your greatest asset is you. VictorOrocho.com, which he's in Colombia tonight, isn't he? Right, Byron?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
International. He's selling VictorOrocho.com. Visit that website, and Victor can get you to the right places. If you're a current professional football player, right, Byron? He's able to help you out with all that money you're getting paid.
Oh, yeah, a ton of it, ton of it. Print my own.
Well, I want to start off sad news, but a tribute to O.J. Simpson. One of great football players played for the San Francisco 49ers. He also played for the Raiders, right, Byron?
Buffalo Bills, his first team.
Oh, yes, right. Bills and the San Francisco 49ers. A little bit of drama off the field, but we'll remember him more on the field.
Kind of tied into his legacy in one way or another.
Exactly. But I wanted to start off, you guys, your memories and his playing days. I know Byron remember him. Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Well, I can go back to his USC days when, he was Heisman Trophy, winning running back there, great back, out there, when he played, with the Buffalo Bills, which is probably the worst team in the history of whatever back then. And once they got, I think his name was Lou Saban, the head coach was at the time, when he got there, that's when they really started running the ball, with him. And that's where, he got, I think he ended up with like 11,000 yards or whatever he had. And, he had the highest average for a 14 game. I think it was 143 yards a game the year he rushed for 2,000. It's sad, that, people are going to remember for the other stuff. But, he was, a great, running back.
Great running back indeed. He broke some records, didn't he?
Well, the first one to rush for 2,000 yards in a season. That, and then, like I said, the 143 yards a game is the highest average for a season. Still. Wow.
Alex, you're a young guy. I'm not sure if you remember him or watch some videos of him.
Sorry. I do have a non-trolling thing to talk about what happened when I was one. He was Nordberg in Naked Gun. Can't forget that, his acting career after his football. No, he was, I would say in that Naked Gun series, he was a pretty solid actor. So if I'm going to do the not talk about what happened in 94, that would be the Naked Gun.
Yeah, there's a lot of memes going on today, by the way.
A whole bunch of them. Because he's like, he was a sportscaster. That was one, career. And, the acting stuff, that was another career. And, he had a full life, my prayers to his family, because, it is tragic that he lost a father and a grandfather, today. But, put all the bad stuff aside and, just remember the good stuff that, he did on the football field.
Yeah, he was 76 years old. He died of cancer, prostate cancer, actually. I'm not sure if it was diagnosed a year ago or was it recently. I really can't get the story right, but was confirmed on Twitter. And one of my guys told me about it. I was surprised. I thought it was a joke, but no, it was really true. So prayers to him and his family and all that. All right, let's get into
a bit. Important reminder to make sure that you do get your prostate checked as a male. I'm obviously
too young
for prostate checks still, but I know that the older I get, the more common you need to get those. So do please make sure you are getting your body checked out on a regular basis.
And especially being an African American man, we have a higher risk of prostate cancer. That's my father passed away from. So I make sure that I've been going since probably 35, as far as getting the check that I dread. It is what it is.
There's our PSA for you.
So you do have to stay on top of, the whole prostate cancer thing.
Yeah, it's probably one of the main things guys have to deal with.
Yes. And they have the stigma of, the certain thing that you have to do. And a lot of guys don't want to have that done. And that's where the biggest issue is in the African-American community, that they just, I'd just rather die from this than have the doctor do this to me. And that's a fact.
Yeah, quite something. So we'll see what happens next couple of days. I'm not sure if the NFL is going to do something when the season starts off, but we'll find out. No, probably not. Yeah.
The Heisman got roasted for his very brief remembrance of him. So I doubt the NFL will.
Yeah. He was part of the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, was he? 67, 68, I think.
Yeah, he won the Heisman Trophy too. Yeah, because when they did that one that show, when they had the guys that won the Heisman, I guess, and it was something else, and they had all of them. They mentioned him and kept it moving.
Oh wow!
Yep,
incredible. Well, we'll see what happens in a couple of days. Let's go into the NFL draft is in 2 weeks, guys. 2 weeks. And Giants general manager has been on the news lately. He had an interview with Sports Illustrated. And he said, we don't want to be up here again. We don't want to be picking in the top 10. He told Sports Illustrated, we have multiple needs. We are going into year three. Keep that in mind. People assume we're going quarterback, but we have other needs. If the quarterbacks go 1 through 4, then we're getting the second position player, not quarterback, at six, which is okay too. He says that player will be ready, will really help us. Even last year, our quarterback coach was at CJ Stroud's workout. We spent a lot of time with Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. Your thoughts on these quotes, guys?
I didn't know that. Like, well, is the assumption when they say quarterbacks are going top four that Arizona's drafting at four, or that they're trading out? Because to my knowledge, I'm not saying that Kyler Murray is the be-all, end-all, but my understanding is that they're sticking with Kyler Murray, and that's where Marvin Harrison Jr., on the assumption he doesn't get drafted by Washington or New England, that's where he's going.
And the draft order right now is first the Bears and the Commanders, Patriots, Arizona, Chargers, then the Giants at six. Byron, what are your thoughts over John Shane's comments on the quarterback situation?
I get beat upside the head messing around those people on the Giants sites, the different ones that I'm on. And, I bring in the fact that, again, that the kid, hasn't had weapons, hasn't, they were sacked 85 times, and, the interior line is awful. And I just get beat upside the head and said, hey, let's build a line from the inside out first. Then, the wide receiver, the tight end, and definitely the running back. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. As long as they don't do what I think they might do, which I hope they don't do, is draft a quarterback. But, it is what it is. That's his team.
I almost thought that was a J.J. McCarthy picture that was about to pop up on the screen.
Which is one of the options, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, on the assumption it's Williams, who sounds like he's number one, and then we don't know what Washington's picking. I think they're leaning Daniels. Is that the guy from LSU?
Yep.
And then Drake May most likely goes to New England, which I can tell you from the perspective of living in New England, it's a very divided what they want. There are those who just want to get a quarterback, and there's everyone else who's obsessed with Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, I'm not saying it's a bad choice, but they need a quarterback in New England.
Yeah, but then you have Minnesota also needs a quarterback, and they have two picks on the first. I think they have number 11, was it 11, and like 23 or something. Yeah, they have two picks in the first round. So
this list is wrong.
Yeah. So are they going to move up, all the way, to get in that range to pick one of those quarterbacks, or what are they going to do? But I think like one of the reports I saw today that the Cardinals wanted like three first rounds to move the middle four. I don't think anybody's going to give up three rounds, first round picks to go that high.
And join us, John Roddenberg. How's it going? It's been a couple months.
Hey, sorry about that, guys. Yeah, it has. I apologize. And it's going to be a short night, too, but I wanted to stop by. I know Byron's ticked at me because I haven't been on. He's not even talking to me right now. Look at that. He's not saying a damn word to me.
Being ghosted.
Yeah, I've been ghosted by Byron. So, no, yeah, but I did want to let you guys know I'm still alive, number one. But, yeah, no, it's good to be back.
What time is your stop time? Because I do want to have a chance to talk to you about the Russell Wilson trade with you.
Give me about, I got about 15 minutes. And I don't have that. And trust me, it won't take me that long to talk about it.
All right. Let's go to that right now because that was a big trade a couple weeks ago. It actually happened on my birthday weekend, March 18th. Actually, 16th. What are your thoughts over that? He's going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Broncos have no quarterback. They still have that coach. Vince doesn't like because he gets paid a lot. But
Josh Stidham still the starting quarterback number one right now. Not a bad. He's better than Drew Lock. Which sorry to bring that up, Byron. Drew Lock's a capable backup quarterback, but he's not going to win you a lot of games. Just throwing that out there. But Stidham, I think I'm not saying anything. I'm woohoo, delirious, yay, Broncos go. Team. That's kind of my feeling right now. But Russell Wilson needed to go. I thought getting Sean Payton in there would actually help, and it did a little bit. But when you're missing wide open receivers in the end zone time after time after time after time, you got to go. So, and that's what Russell Wilson was doing. Hey, Russell Wilson is one of those guys, great guy, great for the community. you know, but his time may be over. And I actually don't think he's going to be QB1 in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
So,
wait, who's the backup there that also was like
Justin Fields?
Thank
Justin Fields, yeah.
I couldn't remember for a moment.
I think Fields will beat him out. I honestly do.
Huh, I said that. People beat me upside the head.
Listen, Austin says, but it's coming from me, Byron. It's coming from me, so therefore it's more legit.
Okay, I feel better now.
Kidding, of course. But no, that those are my thoughts. I mean, it's look. Denver is taking a bath salary cap wise. You know, we are not going to be competitive for another 2 years.
Wow.
When it comes to signing people, we had some good free agency sign up. What's that?
I said, at least you're honest about it. You know,
some
people will lie to your face and say, yeah, we're competing.
Byron, when have I ever said, and Victor gets on my case about this, that I'm not a true fan? No, I'm a realist. Everything I do, I am a realist. You know, I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. I don't think Denver has, they can be competitive. They have some good receivers. You have to, you know, fill in the spot for, you know, Justin Simmons and some of the guys who lost on defense. You know, Jerry Jeudy, hey, thanks for stopping by for a donut. But you were definitely a bust. You know, so there's a lot that they have that they can build on. But I'm not going to be, you know, I'll still hate the Raiders. I'll still hate the Chiefs. I'll still hate the Chargers. But I'm not going to get too giddy about the Broncos this year. So it's just realism.
How about your coach, Sean Payton? You like him there, or you think he be there, just either be there for 2 years and that's it?
Hey, Byron, what are your thoughts? We've talked about this in the past. You know, I didn't like the vibe when he came in. Granted, Nathaniel Hackett, worst excuse ever for a head coach in NFL history. Okay. An offensive coordinator who does not know how to coordinate an offense, who does not know what a time clock is, the play clock. Okay. That's a problem. But flip side of that is you're taking over a position. You never talk bad about the person you're taking over for.
Oh yeah.
And that's code. Exactly. That's in my line of work, auto finance. It's in, you know, anytime you take a job from someone else, unless you're a total jerk, you don't talk smack about them once they're gone. It's like, hey, he contributed. Thank you very much. But we're going to go this direction now. But Sean Payton didn't do that. I mean, yes, he called him out for being the worst head coach in NFL history on more than one occasion. I mean, in several different interviews, he did that. I don't know why he was trying to go down that path.
He peed in his Cheerios, I guess.
I guess so. Or, you know, there's a stink in the office. I don't know, you know. But, yeah, that's it. So Sean Payton has been a fan with his since he was back with the 87 Strike Bears. Just kidding. But, you know, he has shown results, but he also has to have talent to show those results. And because, you know, Drew Brees fell into your lap, dude. It just happened. That's what made you a champion. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I still say Denver trades up for Bo Nix to get Bo Nix in the first round.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
That'd be a good quarterback for the Broncos, Byron.
Yes. He's that, you know, he's not a really big guy, but he's going to throw on time. That's one thing he's going to do. Yeah. That's what Sean Payton wants, a quarterback that's going to do exactly what he wants him to do. And Bo Nix seems like, you know, the kind of quarterback that he would like.
Yeah. And plus he, you know, he's, like you said, he's not a giant like the kid from North Carolina who, that kid takes one good hit. I'm worried about him. I really am.
Bo Nix.
Yeah, skinny kid. He's skinny as hell. But I think, you know, but a good, I think he's probably, if I were to pick a prototypical pro quarterback for this draft, it would be him, the kid from North Carolina. He's big. He throws on, he's like, you know, a Peyton Manning body, you know. So let's see what he does. So I'm excited about some of these quarterbacks coming out. Caleb Williams, good luck, Chicago. You know, you keep trying to go after the brass ring and you keep getting stuck.
I mean, this feels like the best chance they got. They seemingly have things falling into their lap. Who is, I forgive me, I'm like so disconnected because it was about a month ago. What was the big acquisition they got? There was a big wide receiver they got, like, right at free agency.
Who's that?
The Bears, right? You say?
Oh, Bears. Yeah,
yeah, the Bears.
I'm going to look that up. Byron, do you remember? Oh, that Keenan Allen.
Keenan, yeah.
Keenan Allen, thank you. Okay. Like, this feels like the best opportunity, not that Justin Fields had a bad one, but like this Caleb Williams feels like he's set up for success with a solid running back whose name I'm forgetting, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. Like, it seems like that's they're missing the rookie QB. Not that it's going to be like, again, this is not a 13-win team, but it feels the best Chicago could be is right now.
You got Khalil Herbert as their running back, right, Byron?
Khalil Herbert.
Yep. Yeah.
And Deontay Foreman, is he a running back?
Could be.
I think so.
Might be
totally
two.
Off the season.
Well, shit, you know, I have what I call extended family in Chicago. I am a closet Bears fan too, just because I lived out there for a long time.
Portillo's like to you're a masochist. You're a Broncos and
yeah, I am.
Bears
I am.
Fan.
Yeah, but here's the thing, you know, when I go to Chicago, I know I'm going to hit Lou Malnati's Pizza, and I know I'm going to get a dog from Portillo's. All right. So, what's not to love about Chicago? All right.
Froze dried and shipped to Maine for us for
a
birthday. So it was as good as advertised, let alone in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. We last time we were there, as soon as we parked downtown, we had like an hour to wait for what we're doing. Hey, there's Lou Malnati's. Let's go there. So, but yeah, if you want the best Chicago pizza, and then actually, you know, if you want a close second, the pizzeria, and I'm not saying go to Pizzeria Uno, go to your local grocer and get the frozen Pizzeria Uno.
Interesting.
Yeah, because at Pizzeria Uno, they put in the restaurant, they put the sauce on top, right?
Yeah.
The frozen, they put it underneath the cheese.
Write that down, Byron.
And Lou Malnati used to run. Yeah, used to run Pizzeria Uno. So, but as far as Portillo's hot dogs, I mean, you can't do any better than that. I fake it. I put all the ingredients in, but it's not the same. I even put like poppy seeds inside the bun. It just doesn't. It doesn't work. But yeah.
Who has better food, Philadelphia or Chicago?
Chicago.
Whoa!
Mr. Byron.
Nothing against Philly, but other than the cheesesteak, I mean, they had some solid pizza, but like,
they got a lot of
the Philly that makes great food.
A lot of Italian restaurants they have in Philadelphia, a ton of them. They got more than you could think of around here.
Yeah, then go to Chicago and tell me about the same thing.
It might be a tie.
But, so, shockingly, one of the places I went that had good Italian food was in Delaware.
Which place?
In Wilmington, somewhere like a little town.
Oh, in Little Italy.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of nice ones up there. Yeah. So, for those of you guys who don't know, I am in Newark, Delaware. So,
I'll say if I'm ever in Delaware, I'll make sure to look for it. You said Little Italy?
Yeah, it's in Wilmington. Yeah, you're going to go through some dodgy areas to get to it, just so you know.
Yeah, don't stop.
Isn't that
most
of Delaware?
Yeah, don't stop. Don't stop.
Up to 7-Eleven, right?
Yeah. But
became a food podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
Listen, by the way,
Byron, next time you're down seeing your sister in Middletown, Taco Rijo, right when you're going into town.
My sister's been there like at least three times because she sends me pictures every time with the truck and whatever else is that. She goes there all the time.
We had the food truck last night over at the brewery to buy our house. I'll send you a picture of the hot dog I had. It was just incredible, man. It was, oh, dude. It was just amazing. Anyway, guys, I appreciate you guys having me on.
John, thanks for coming back.
No problem. Byron, like I said, Drew Luck, capable, kind of come in. But if DJ goes down, you're going to pray to get Tyrod Taylor back.
I'm sorry, do you not believe in Tommy DeVito?
Tommy DeVito's still there. Ah, there you go. He's still there. Tommy, there you go. Tommy back at
the Tommy Cutlets.
I still got the shirt.
I have a feeling Tommy DeVito's going to beat out Drew Luck for that number two. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm throwing those good, for me, good vibes into the universe.
If I recall.
You know, Drew Locke, when he's drafted.
Sorry, Tyrod Taylor. I accepted his own name into my brain.
Yeah. When Denver drafted Drew Locke, I thought about all the great Hall of Fame quarterbacks that came from University of Missouri. Anyway, on that note, guys, I will talk to y'all later. Owen's going to be back. And everyone, take care.
John Roddenberry, everyone.
Take care, bud.
Well, there you have it. John Roddenberry with the Broncos update. He's looking pessimistic, but it might be a 2-year rebuild, looks like. Because they lost Jerry Jeudy. I forgot about that. He's now with the Browns. So we'll see what happens there. But let's get back to our little Giants. We were starting into quarterback or no quarterback. Jones and his last year of his contract. Should the Giants draft the quarterback? We'll start with Alex. Alex kind of hinted on something before John, but what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, it really depends on what happened, because my expectation from what I feel like everyone talks about, 1 through 3 should, I say should, unless trades happen, 1 through 3 will be quarterbacks, whether Washington chooses May or Daniels. That's the drama till draft night. But from what I think I've understood is that the Cardinals are going wide receiver. They're not drafting a quarterback unless they trade out. I don't remember what I've seen in mock drafts about the Chargers. What I'm hoping, and I know Byron said something different, I want the Giants to go best wide receiver available on the assumption O'Dunes is out there. That's the name I've heard since January, the Washington receiver. I hope they go O'Dunes. That's what I'm hoping for. I understand line work needs help, but just get the receiver, man.
Before we get into Byron, this is a PFF mock draft or one of the top football websites. Round 4. Yeah, if a trade happens, which could happen, it's rumored. They got picking up Alumaya Fashanu from Penn State. Then in round 2, they get Kalen Bullock, a safety from USC. Then Chris Broadwell from Alabama in round 2, 57th pick. And then they get a guard, Christian Mahoney from Boston College. Then in round 4, they get a quarterback, Spencer Rattler, which has been talked about because Byron has talked about it before. What are your thoughts about this mock draft?
To draft another tackle that high? No way. Absolutely not. Especially not this guy. No, he's a tackle, this guy.
Well, I meant like, what are you hoping for?
A receiver, like Malik Nabers.
Line play, sorry.
No.
I misrepresented what you said earlier.
Oh, no way. No. I was looking like all alignment that they had, you know, will have now, you know, as far as, you know, through free agency, the ones that are still there, they got a ton of linemen. So they got at least 10 or 11 linemen, you know, that I've looked at, you know, that they have right now. So out of them 10, 11, you have to find 5. That's all you need to do is 5. 5 that can play together. Don't do like they did last year, you know, with these guys. You know, they're going for, you know, the whole preseason. You know, they don't play. They play last game, and then we saw what happened, you know, the first game. They need, you know, the first game, put them out there, you know, half the game or whatever, where they can play together as a unit. But as far as drafting, you know, this guy that high, no way. No.
All right, so back to the original question, Byron. Would you draft the quarterback at the sixth position? You do have a mock-up, but what do you think is the probability? I know Joe Shane is, you know, throwing smoke screens, but what is the probability of Giants?
I think that's what he's doing. You know, he wants, you know, somebody to bite, you know, as far as, you know, to move up. I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback that high. You know, you just had the one where, you know, like a you know, Shane Rattler, you know, Spencer, whatever kid's name, Rattler from, you know, South Carolina, Spencer, or, you know, in the second round, maybe like a Michael, you know, Penix in the second round, or, you know, even if Bo Nix falls to the second round, something like that, you know, the second round, you know, not that high, but, you know, they need to get a receiver, because right now they don't have a true number one on the team at all.
And OBJ is available too.
No, we don't need two LSU guys. We don't need that.
I will state, as someone who has unfortunately had the pleasure and displeasure of watching Spencer Rattler, he came in very hyped when he went to Oklahoma, lost his job. I don't remember. It may have been even to Caleb Williams at Oklahoma. Then he came to South Carolina, and we thought this was going to be the greatest thing. you know, we knew he wasn't the perfect quarterback, but for South Carolina, for the record, in the same state as Clemson, we settle for what we can get. We're like, all right, this is perfect. And he didn't live up to great expectations. I think a lot of that was coordinator play more than himself, but he had that hot month in November when he beat Clemson and Tennessee. And then he just did not live up to expectations last year. It was very disappointing as a Gamecocks fan watching Rattler. I'm like, I know he's not perfect, but at the same time, I kind of just hope he doesn't get drafted by the Giants, but if he does, it's what it is. That's my personal take.
Wow. Yeah, that was brutal.
No, I forget the guy's name. There was the coordinator who everyone in South Carolina wanted to get fired. And this was in 2022. He gets fired or whatever, replaced. And he didn't do any better last year. In fact, he probably did worse last year under South Carolina. But the whole team wasn't super good. So
we did not know you're a Gamecocks fan.
Yes. My connection is, even though I'm New England born and raised, my great uncle played for South Carolina in the late 60s. So I now have a bunch of family down there. And I usually make an annual pilgrimage down to Columbia, South Carolina. That's where I almost asked at the beginning of the show if Victor was in Columbia, South Carolina, or the country. Because I'm country. So used to traveling to Columbia, South Carolina annually. And I'm like, oh, but yes, Gamecocks fan. Shout out Dawn Staley and the Lady Gamecocks.
So
Philly native.
That's right.
So, of course, why is everyone speculating about a quarterback? Because we got the current starting quarterback for the Giants, Daniel Jones, who Victor says has a neck injury, has a neck issue. But what's his deal with his contract, Byron?
Oh, they're the last year. It's not the last year. It's like where it really kicks.
It's before the money gets really bad. Yeah, I guess,
like where it goes crazy. It's like 47 million. So if they cut him after this year, which is a strong possibility, you know, they don't have to pay that tremendous amount at the back end. So they're just looking at, all they see is the 47 million. You know, with him, but you know, it's like what, a 3 or 4 year contract, so they can get out of it after this year if he doesn't play well.
And it's Alex, are you a Daniel Jones fan?
Who, me?
I was not until the year he brought them to the playoffs, and I bought in and proceeded to watch him. Though, again, I would say, and I think I saw this probably in a tweet somewhere last year, not that Daniel Jones was the problem last year, but was any quarterback going to succeed with that offensive line that they built around him? So the contract is, say what you will, they had to pay him. I did not want us, after our best season in over a decade, to go back to mediocrity. We had to pay him, unfortunately. It just sucks that he has now, I think it's now the major second neck injury in such a short time. Because he had that, I think it was during the COVID year, year after, he had a COVID neck injury.
And don't forget the ACL tear that he's coming back from. So he's a little beat up.
The dead cap after 2024 is only $22 million for his contract.
There you go.
You know, it's funny. During these type of months, guys, it feels like we're like a business finance show sometimes. We talk about people's salaries and contracts.
Shoutouts. For the record, shout out Spotrack, who is like the god of like understanding any of this verbiage, which I could myself not figure out.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a whole lot. Before we move on, I do want to hear Alex's opinion over Saquon Barkley moving to the Eagles. When you first heard the news, I know it's been a couple of weeks, right, but I'd like to rehash a little bit.
But I haven't been on the show. It's bittersweet to see him leave, let alone to our cross-town rivals or cross-state, whatever you want to call. At the end of the day, the Giants just, they're going to get rid of him. This almost feels personal that he signed with the Eagles. I'm not saying that like the Eagles didn't have the best offer. It feels incredibly personal that he signed with Philadelphia of all teams.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm happy for him. I wish him nothing but the best, but also not on the Eagles, but that's the position I'm currently put in with him being in Kelly Green or whatever color they call it down in Philadelphia next year.
Well, yeah, there you have it. Cross rivals, which I wish there was a rule of don't go to your same division, leave the division, but there isn't. And you can do whatever you want. We're looking at Hiram's mock-up draft 4.0. Mr. Jones, please explain, what do you have in this mock-up? What was different in the past couple of weeks?
What is different now is where Minnesota trades up with the Chargers and picks J.J. McCarthy, since they do need one, because the only quarterback they have left is Sam. I think Sam Darnold is the guy right now.
Correct.
So, I see them probably, because they have two picks. They got 11 and they have 23. You know, so they probably, you know, they can move, you know, that high, and then Sam, you know, the Chargers would move down to, you know, the Viking spot and take wherever. I can't see
that. Which number you want to move down to?
The Chargers. Yeah,
the Chargers at number 11.
And that was, you know, a different, you know, with them, you know, as far as them taking up offensive line, because you figure they have you know, Harbaugh is the head coach now, and he's big on, you know, the offensive line. He's going to want to run the ball, you know, protect that real quarterback that they have, Justin Herbert, out there.
They got no one to throw to, so why not run it?
Yeah. you know, they signed. Yeah, that's true. So, I see him shoring up the line, because look at Michigan. You know, I think the last couple of years, their offensive line was voted like the best offensive line in all of college football, like the last 2 or 3 years, you know, up there with Harbaugh. So I see him, you know, shoring them up, you know, with this kid from Oregon State, and run the ball and play action pass and do their thing.
Talis Fuga is his name.
Yep.
Well, this is also why, speaking of Michigan, I'm bullish or a little skeptical of what J.J. McCarthy can do. And I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy's bad, but from watching how much college ball, he never had to do hero ball. Like, Michigan was just that good with what they had at the running back, whose name I'm really bad at names tonight. I forget the
okay. It's offseason.
It was Blake something, I feel like, whoever the running back was for Michigan, who was really good. Right, that J.J. McCarthy.
Corum.
Blake Corum, thank you. That, like, J.J. McCarthy never had to really win a game for Michigan. They either were just that defensively, like, staunch that, like, they were able to smother their opponent. And Blake Corum was just that much of a stud that's the only thing with J.J. McCarthy. It's not that I need him to, like, always have a hero ball, but you don't know what you're getting out of J.J. McCarthy, which is why I hope the Giants don't draft him at 6.
Which he was interviewed, Alex, about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, right, Byron?
Who, McCarthy?
J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah.
But what if, guys? What if he's available at that Hicks position?
Please don't.
Nah. We,
is that tempting for the Giants?
Nah, I mean, it's
going to be tempting. Don't get me wrong. Well, not for me. But, you know, I'm not in the war room for the Giants. You know, I didn't want them to draft Saquon. I didn't want them to draft Daniel Jones. But yet here we are.
I could see them, if they did take a quarterback, where they could reset, you know, with the rookie money, you know, as far as like with the rookie with the rookie salary cap, and then, you know, going into the future, because then, you know, that gives you 5 years, you know, to right the ship. But are those two Shane and Dable are they gonna be able to weather the storm, you know, if they drafted a rookie quarterback, got to put the rookie quarterback out there because Daniel Jones is not going to be ready at the beginning of the season. And now they're losing, or whatever's happening. Is Mara going to pull the trigger on them and get rid of them?
We got a comment from Eric Winters. Danny Himes, LOL, as if it was a fifth, then we all be drunk, coach.
as if he was worth a fifth, or...
As if was a fifth. I don't know. Fifth pick? I don't know.
He was the sixth pick. I saw some tweet that talked about all the Giants like picks recently, and yeah, he was sixth overall. Which, fun fact, I was watching Avengers Endgame when that happened, and my friend showed it to me, and I was pissed in the moment, even though I was watching the end of this MCU, whatever. I'm like, please don't show this to me right now.
Another comment from Eric, which we will have to have Eric come on and tell us why the Steelers got Kenny Pickett, but he hasn't come on yet.
I'm not gonna give a go bird. I did see a lot. I do own some Philly related merchandise from my my venture down to Philadelphia that is in Eagles color, like my nice WrestleMania thing. But no, I will not. I will not give them the satisfaction. Jason Kelce was great though. I did see him on Saturday. He did show up.
Which we'll get your experience from WrestleMania. I'd love to hear it because I heard it was really good this year, but we'll go towards the end of the show. So looking at this mock-up draft, Byron has LSU, Malik Neighbors, which Alex says he wants a wide receiver.
I can live with Neighbors. I just – Odunes is the name that comes to my brain, but I can live with Neighbors as well.
What about you, Coach? Coach Byron, do you think he'll be the answer for the offense there?
He'll definitely be an upgrade of what they have because all they have, you know, they got Slayton. You know, he's a good number two. You know, Wandell Robinson, you know, he looked good toward the end of the season. And they got Wheaton, a guy that was hurt last year, a big wide receiver, like 6'5 receiver that was, you know, hurt his knee last year. They really don't have a lot of receivers right now.
Sterling Shepard still there?
No, he retired. Then we have Darren Waller. Waller is like, well, you know, I'm not sure if I want to come back. It's a whole process. So he's him and horn as far as if he's going to play, you know, this year. So he's got them like kind of, he doesn't have a barrel, but it's kind of jacked up. You know,
that, he has to decide soon.
Yeah, like in 2 weeks he should be up, but he's not.
He's taking his time. Which Alex mentioned, I remember one show Alex was saying that he had injury issues, and it did turn out to be that way as well.
That was the whatever they call it. Like on paper, he seemed like he was going to be this great tight end, but there was the injury prone issues that like we all overlooked because holy crap, the Giants got like a name at tight end. But yeah, unfortunately, that's just how it was. Though I mean, that was I don't know what the excuse was at the beginning of the year before he got hurt, but you know. What it was. I mean, the whole team wasn't really performing at the beginning of the year.
All right, so going back to the mock, Byron did have Bo Nix go to Denver.
Yep.
Which is something John wanted, I think he said.
Yep. And then look what's next. Michael Penix going to the Raiders.
Yeah, this guy has been buzzing a lot everywhere on the sports expert shows. But what I've heard about Penix Jr., he's been injured twice in college.
I think it was more than that. I think like a shoulder and his knee a couple times.
So he stayed relatively healthy last year, to my knowledge. I don't think he suffered a major injury this year. But, yeah, no, he's – I'm sure there's the concerns because I'm like, yeah, I'm almost thinking he seemed like he was in the conversation for Heisman for a minute last year. But, yeah, I don't know what the whole thing is there. I think he's just – yeah, probably seems like he's kind of – I forget what – was said earlier about Drake May that it seems like he's one bad hit away from, you know, again, a major injury.
And his pro day, he ran a 4.46 Penix. So that's pretty impressive. And, you know, he's more like, if you ever like watched him throw the ball, he does come, you know, he's left-handed, you know, he comes over, he throws a nice ball, like a nice, really nice deep ball. And, you know, if you want a quarterback that can, you know, get, you know, the ball down the field, he's definitely your guy. You know, you just got to, you know, keep him, you know, on the field. You know, can't get injured all the time.
That's the thing with injuries these days. You know, you have to look at these players a lot closer. Okay, so which this looks on. Saints got Troy Fontenot, Cooper Jean. Let's go to the latter half of the first round. Any of these, Byron, that stood out to you? Jaguars. Go ahead.
Jaguars, yeah, he's probably the second best cornerback available coming out. You know, smaller school. You know, they got that kid. As far as the Buffalo Bills retooling with a receiver. This guy, I think this kid ran like a 4.26 or something crazy that he ran from Texas. So you know, he's somebody to keep an eye on.
And then yeah, the reason why because Stephon Diggs going to the Texans.
Yes, and then the Kansas City Chiefs since you know. The receiver that had that little misfortune down there in Texas, I'm sure they're going to be looking for another receiver. And Lade McConkey, the kid from Georgia, is probably somebody they're going to be looking at.
You think where Rasheed Rice is over his career?
With 8 felony counts? In Texas? It might be done.
Was it something that you guys talked about last week about, you know, Victor would have said, well, you just stayed and, hey – just stay but not flee the crime.
Yeah. So, and, you know, okay, it was a bad accident. You know, no fatalities. You know, all right, well, stay. Not get out the car on camera and then just walk away from two vehicles that are in your name? How we had a kid, well, back in the day, years ago, we had a knucklehead in Jersey that played for the Tennessee Titans. I can tell you his name, that was speeding up and down the Garden State Parkway, you know, doing like 900 miles an hour on the Atlantic City Expressway. People forget there's cameras all over the place. So he took his car, drove home, parked it in the driveway. They went straight to his house and knew who it was. So these guys don't think, I understand that we were all young at one time, but that doesn't, that's just past dumb, what he did.
Young receiver, 23, 24, 4 years old. It's so sad to see their careers, not say over, but going to the stumbling blocks. I know the NFL is going to look at it very closely. Obviously, that's what they have to do and see how much they have to suspend him for. So we don't know a game or season. It's crazy.
I will say what's interesting, based on this mock draft, just, again, reviewing PFF, that, like, Spencer Rattler is, like, the seventh best quarterback. But in that mock draft visual you had up, that one, thank you, that they have him going all the way in the fourth round. Not that I'm expecting QB's abundance in rounds two or three, but if in the mock draft there's, like, four or five in just the first round, Byron, where do you see Rattler landing, like, round, like, late day two or early day three? Is go ahead.
Like, just what you said, either, second day or third round, because he didn't, he has talent. He's one of those kids that have talent. And maybe it was a bad system down there in South Carolina. Maybe it was off of the coordinator. But, he was the guy, when he was, at Oklahoma. He was good. And then he just, somebody better came in, and took his job. But, he
chose the wrong day to stick, which was against Texas. That was the problem.
Yeah, that didn't help at all. But he does have talent, and so maybe, Dable can get it out of him. Maybe somebody else can get it out of him. But, late, second day or third day, he should be picked.
Maybe to the Giants.
Perhaps. No. well, the whole
so Byron. Go ahead.
If we get him in the fourth round, day three is such a, just throwing darts at the board, hope for the best. And I would love Spencer Rattler, but at the same time, I just kind of hope he doesn't, so I don't have to think about, okay, here we go again. as a South Carolina Giants fan here.
I know, which we found out. It might be a connection there. I don't know. I think if you guys get into the fourth round, guys, I think that is tempting. I mean, I don't see why not, and just grab him.
I mean, I think the Giants should draft a quarterback. I'm not going to be the Daniel Jones defender to say they shouldn't draft a QB, just not in the first round, even maybe potentially the second round, but they should draft a QB at some point in this draft. I'm not going to be that guy to say, no QB, just not on Thursday night.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that if they're going to pick one, and this is going to be, a little shock, the kid from Tennessee, Joe Milton, the big court, he's big court, like 6'5", and can throw the ball through the, he can throw the ball. And he just needs to be.
But Milton will be there on Saturday, though.
That's that's, if you're going to take somebody, you take a project. He would be a project. He's a big guy. He's a big quarterback that can run. That's something to work with. So keep an eye out for Joe Milton from Tennessee.
And other news, there was a signing by the Giants defensive tackle, Jordan Phillips. He was a free agent. He's coming from Buffalo. What do you guys heard about him?
That he came for the Buffalo Bills. It seemed like we got the Buffalo Bills, New York Giants connection.
Coaches and players.
We built the boys club, remember? Because we got we built the boys club from Buffalo. We took over Dable. Buffalo. I know the offensive coordinator came from Kansas City. I was like, okay, good. We're not just doing everyone from Buffalo is coming to New York, but the Giants have a few players or few personnel, that are from Buffalo previously. So it makes sense.
Yeah, but maybe they're probably signing because he probably scouted them, when they were both up there. So they're probably, they're familiar with, his skill set, and see if it's going to work, with the Giants, even though they do have a new offensive coordinator that came from Tennessee. So maybe, you know, they're familiar with this guy, and that's why they keep signing all these people from Buffalo for some reason. But you know, he's not a bad player at all. You know, they do need an extra, you know, defensive line, you know, to take off the pressure of Dexter Lawrence, and they have a couple other, you know, young guys, you know, that, you know, are going to be part of the rotation. That way, you're not killing Dexter Lawrence by having him out there, you know, 70 or 80 plays, you know, a game. He does need to, you know, be fresh, you know, so he can, you know, be able to do his thing.
Yeah.
Do we have the terms of this contract? Because I'm not seeing.
Yeah, I got the terms right in front of me. Actually, I don't. It was just breaking news from Rappaport, but does not say the contract. How much do you think he's worth, Byron?
A lot more than me. Him, probably veteran, probably at least $5 million. You know, veteran minimum or whatever it is. You know, give him a little. You know, give him a little extra change since he, you know, he's going to be part of rotation.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to be like maybe a little over. I don't know what the vet minimum goes for these days, but it sounds like it's going to be a very favorable, which is what I was kind of hoping for. Like, not that a guy signing in April, like a month after free agency, was going to be like a big contract, but it sounds like it's probably going to be a very team-friendly depth contract for the Giants to help bolster the defensive line. So
that's a good thing.
See what happens when he plays.
Yeah, he's been healthy these past two seasons. He's 6'6". He weighs 341 pounds.
That's all.
He's played 100. Yeah. Yeah, he's played 120 games, 62 career starts, played in 44% of the snaps last season, and he's a rotational piece. So it's positive.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not a bad move for the Giants. Just we'll see when it's preseason and then the regular season how that pick or how that signing turns out. But, you know, I'm going to be optimistic until shown otherwise with signings this late in the year.
But you guys have signed a couple of O-line players this year, right? And
defensive line? The Raiders. Offensive tackle that's probably going to take Evan Neal's job from the Raiders. Right. Runyon from the Green Bay, he's going to be probably the left guard. So, you know, they've shored up, you know, the offensive line. But it's just that they just need to play together, man. When the preseason starts, they need to put them out there and let them play together as a unit. A lot of snaps. Play together as a
unit. It's true. Byron's right about that. Preseason's vital.
Yeah.
But, Especially when they cut one game. So now you only have three games to really, like, figure everything out.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that they don't play the first three games, and then you throw them out there, you know, the last game, and they play like what Giants did last year. All right, they didn't play the first three games together. They put them in the fourth game. They went down and scored, you know, seven plays, and they all came out. And that was it. And then you wonder why it was a train wreck when they got the brakes beat off them when the Cowboys played them the first game. They wonder why that happened.
42-7, was it?
I don't even think they scored. I think it was like 40 nothing or something crazy.
Oh, gosh. Well, there you have it. NFL draft in 2 weeks. A lot of change is going to happen till then. Maybe some trades. We got some interesting news this morning. Tom Brady was at a barbershop podcast. Let me play the video.
One day, there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers. Maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots. Somebody. Raiders. Look, could be. You never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Could not have picked a worse example than MJ coming back. Well, unless he's referring to the Bulls the second time. But like,
I think the Wizards situation.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, that's a good example.
What do you think, Byron?
Yeah, we were talking about it before. You know, maybe he's like bored or something, or, you know, that maybe he doesn't want to do the TV thing because, you know, I think when he got $400 million or whatever he got from, you know, Fox, you know, to be the lead guy or whatever, like crazy amount he got.
It's like your cousins.
Okay. Yeah, and then it was like Yeah. He should have been there last year, you know, as far as calling games, but for, you know, they let, all right, well, you know, I need to take off a year. So he took off a year. So now you sit there and listen to this guy. Oh, well, you know, if somebody called me, oh, I can go out there. So, like, come on, man. You that bored, man? You got more money you'll ever spend in your life. You want to go back out there at 40 some years old? Nah, that's not a good idea.
The Jordan comparison, I will understand that he put in that is from watching The Last Dance and everything else, that how much Jordan loved basketball in the NBA, that I see Tom Brady does love football in the NFL. I just don't see it being a good idea.
Yeah.
But you figure, okay, Michael Jordan played basketball. You know, I understand there's some contact, you know, playing basketball. It really is. You know, I get that part. You're going to be a quarterback that's won 7 Super Bowls. You don't think somebody wants a scout, you know, hey, yeah, I got Tom Brady. You know, and you're 45 years old or whatever, you know, whatever age he is, and one of these young bucks coming around the corner and, like, forget who he is and light him up. You know, why would you want to go out, you know, on your shield like that?
Nah, the love of the game. Go,
he says he's still in shape, though.
Being in shape and getting hit by a guy that weighs 300, you know, a 300-pound guy that's running a 4.5, 4.6, 40 coming around the edge and just blows him up. I'm pretty sure that 45, 46, them bones don't heal the same. He could be doing all the yoga, Pilates, or whatever he does.
Doesn't eat strawberries, remember that.
Doesn't eat strawberries. Yeah, and drinks all the
avocado for dessert.
All the juju drink, you know, whatever he drinks and all this other stuff, and sleeps in the, you know, the hybrid, you know, that container thing or whatever. No, it's a 300-pound guy lighting you up at 45. You're gonna feel it, and you're gonna feel it for a long time.
Phil hit. That's crazy. Well, Tom Brady is on the running for the Raiders minority ownership position. I think he should get approved any moment, maybe by the season starts or maybe during the season. And as Byron says, he does have a contract with Fox Sports. But is going to take over this guy. But go ahead.
Can he be an owner and be on TV like that?
I was just thinking about that. I think he can, as long as it's not like, I don't know. I'm sure there's some whatever around it, but I bet you he probably looked into that before he became a minority stakeholder in the Vegas ownership. I'd like to.
I guess he can't broadcast Raiders games.
Probably, which thankfully on Fox, I know the rules are different now, where it feels like a free for all with the TV on NFL. I hate to say it's the guy who remembers NFC. I know, me being my age of the 2000s, where it's like NFC was Fox, CBS had the AFC, but now it's just like during the regular season, it's a free for all.
It's a mixed bag now. Now they will have a game in Brazil on a Friday night.
That's intriguing. Oh, Friday night! I didn't know that part. I did see they were going to be at Corinthians Stadium, but. That's intriguing. I like that.
Yeah, Eagles versus
Green Bay.
So Jordan Love with Victor Rocha really loves going up against the Eagles, Saquon Barkley. First game in South America. There's been games in Mexico. Future games will be in Spain, I think in 2 years or so, or a year from now. Wow. So a different scenario. Brazil loves the NFL. I hear
Barcelona or Madrid. Yeah, they got some large stadiums out there in Spain.
They usually have in England typically the most, and then they have some in Germany. I think that's it. Germany and France.
Yeah,
and that's
Germany. True. They've started in like the last 2 years, but I think the Patriots were in one. I think it was Frankfurt, actually, of all places. Now that I remember it,
they love it.
And yeah, they're slowly expanding.
Slowly expanding, and we'll see what happens there. So, Alex, WrestleMania, obviously people talk about Logan Paul, but I know it's not all about him. How was your experience in WrestleMania? Which I have been to WrestleMania in Miami years ago, but how was your experience there?
Well, I didn't unfortunately get to go to night two because I had to drive home. But night one, it was cold, but it was, as a wrestling fan, it was an all-time experience just getting to go. Let alone, I have to say, Lincoln Financial, a very nice stadium. When I say larger, I don't necessarily mean in terms of my beer gut below camera here, but in terms of height, any stadium that seems to have been built after like 2000 seems to be great. I go to the TD Garden fairly regularly. It's not super well built for guys who are like, you know, over like 5'10", but I like Lincoln Financial Field. I no complaints. Parking, they could do a better job of getting people in and out of there, but I assume that was just the off season. I assume at Eagles games they do a better job, but in terms of the action,
no, they don't.
They don't. Okay, so good. I had the same experience. Of it took us, I think, an hour to get out of. I couldn't tell you what lot we were in. Somewhere in the northeast side. Otherwise, in terms of the action, it was a pretty great night. Seeing the Rock wrestle was, you know, as someone who had never thought I could even think of the Rock wrestling in 2020s, it was nice to see him actually like work and bump a bit. And then just night two, which I didn't get to, which was about 20 degrees warmer than my night. It seemed like it was a pretty good time there. So, yeah, no, Philly was a great time. Having never been to Philly other than their airport, I enjoyed myself.
Which the Rock is owner or part owner of the UFL. Have you been watching some games, Byron, the UFL?
No, I just wanted to say, I watched like one game, not the whole game, but I watched it where I wanted to see the kickoff thing because I had not really paid attention to the way they did the whole kickoff thing. And that was like, okay, yeah, you can return, you know, the way it's set up.
It sounds like definitely with the new kickoff rule that, like, I mean, I don't fully understand the part about the touchback or the fair catch rule, but in terms of, like, if they do a return, it seems like the new standard instead of the maybe the 2025, it seems like the starting point will be another 5 to 10 yards further out. That's what I'm kind of picked up on from the new kickoff rules.
I think if you kick it into the end zone and it's a touchback, the offense gets the ball in the 40.
Oof.
So they encourage you to kick the ball to the guy.
I think there should be a rule where you can get like 1 or 2 points if the kicker can put it through the uprights, but that's just me.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, which I saw a video on YouTube last week when you guys were talking about it. Yeah, it's it'll for sure. You'll definitely avoid injuries. That's like what I've noticed.
I mean, it does help that not having the kicking team like doing like 60-yard dashes to maybe potentially try to tackle someone, and they're like what placed at the 35, I think, under the new rule. I forget how it's been a minute since I looked at the new rules. It's like, I think the kickoff, the return team's at the 25 and the kicking team's at the 35, other than the kicker, of course. And they can't move until the ball is caught. I don't hate it. I mean, I know there's the controversy with the hip drop tackle. I don't hate the new kickoff rule. I just have to see it in play before I really hold judgment, not just the UFL, but like the NFL.
Well, yeah. It's going to be something different. So, get used to it like everything.
I don't know if there's going to be less scoring for kickoff returns or more.
I think it's going to be more. Because that's what they want. I mean,
yeah, or just something to happen. If that means scoring or even getting the ball to even the 50-yard line, that's a success for the NFL to make the kickoff actually worth something.
Yeah, there's no more hip tackles.
Yeah.
Which is a good call, right, Byron?
Yeah, because you figure, you know, they got rid of the horse collar, you know, as far as, you know, reaching in, you know, to the guy's shoulder pads and back, you know, tackle somebody like that. Grab it, drop your weight on the guy at the back of his leg. Yeah, that's a good thing because that was injuring a lot of guys. Because Isaiah Simmons, one of the New York Giants guys that signed him again, he did that. He does that quite frequently. He does it a lot.
Wow.
I will say the ESPN and Foxes of the world did a great job of showing me, oh yeah, that looks very dangerous. I know I may sound soft by saying that, but I'm kind of glad if what they're showing me is that is a very dangerous play, that like I'm glad that they are outruling it. Even if I understand football is a dangerous game, but it doesn't have to be too dangerous that, like, you know, we're all risking injury. This isn't the 60s anymore.
yeah, that's true, which at the time they did hit harder. So okay, this is a video of the new kickoff. It's was XFL, but now it's the UFL. So let me play it to you guys and let me know what you guys think. So both lines are staying still.
So he catches the ball. Hey, yeah, and you're already up to.
So once the guy touches the ball, everyone can move.
Yeah.
The part I've still not understood is the onside kick, which I know they said that they have to declare it, but like, so what does that mean? Like, is it like pretty much the kicking team lines up with the kicker? It's like essentially it's like a regular looking kickoff if it's an onside now.
I don't know.
That's the part I didn't fully understand.
There's a rule with that. There's not going to be no onside kick or anything.
Like that they can't just have a surprise onside kick. They have to declare this is what they're doing. But I don't still fully understand if that means that, okay, they're going to be like lined up like it's a regular looking kickoff. They're just going to try onside. That part I need to like figure out more about.
We'll find out once the season comes. So new rules, new players, new draft. 2 weeks from now, the NFL draft. Before we go, Alex, what is the best way to reach you online?
I should start dropping into my handle right over here whenever I come on the show, but at @aquirko on Twitter/X.
And Byron does not have social media, but you do have a Facebook, right?
That's it.
Look him up.
Facebook. Look it up.
Who watched the college basketball national championship between UConn and Purdue?
I watched it.
I did not. I was watching Raw, but I did watch, shout out the ladies, not just because my beloved Gamecocks. I will admit that if South Carolina was in, I would have at least half tuned in for Caitlin Clark. But I was very happy to see her lose. As a hater of her who put my team out last year and did the whole taunting thing, I was very happy to see South Carolina win.
How about you, Byron? Were you able to watch it? Or like either of them? Well,
I watched both. And I didn't realize the kid from Purdue was that big. He just looks
Zach Edey.
It looked like he's just that much bigger than everybody. He just looks huge. And I was like, okay, but you know, I don't know how successful he's going to be, you know, at the NFL, but the NBA level, because he's kind of slow. Yeah, he has good movement, you know, in the paint and stuff, but he just looks so much bigger than everybody else. And of course, that was Danny Hurley. That's a New Jersey guy from Jersey City. You know, his dad, you know, a Hall of Fame coach from St. Anthony's, which, you know, went under. But, you know, a lot of players come out of there. And, you know, his son Danny is, you know, making his own way by winning his second, you know, national championship. And the other brother, Bobby, I think, is at Arizona State. So, you know, good for UConn. You know, they got a little dynasty thing going on up there. And then I watched, South Carolina and Iowa, you know, too. And I didn't realize how big, Cardosa, the one, you know, female for South Carolina, I realized how big she was. And I was like, okay, she's all of 6'7". And, you know, that's a big dude.
South Carolina one's incredible because Staley had to replace her entire starting five. And that was a good team last year. And then this team that she did went undefeated. So, heck of a coaching job. I'd say for both Staley and Hurley, both very stellar coaching jobs this year for the two national champs.
Yeah. Congrats to UConn and South Carolina. Go ahead, Byron.
Oh, because like the first half, you know, Caitlin, I thought she was going to put up like 90 on the first half of the game. And then, you know, she put up like 12 or 18 or whatever she put up. And then they put the guard on her. And the next, you know, she shut her down. Yeah, I think it was a freshman that they put on her. And that was it. She didn't, you know, she didn't get those free runners and, you know, all the other stuff that she was doing in the first half. And that played a big part. You know, Seth, you know, they locked her down on defense.
Well, there you have it. Good week in sports, college basketball, UConn, South Carolina. Congratulations. So you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on X and Instagram. And we got me again next week. Victor will be out of the country, or he's on a time in somewhere. But Byron, what time next week?
8 o'clock.
8 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. And from there, we got a week left to the draft. I thought the draft was next week, but it's in 2 weeks from now. Looking forward to that. That's in Detroit, right? Live in Detroit?
Interesting.
A home of my cousin. He's having a big old Detroit Lions, Detroit party, whatever's going on up there. So, yeah, that's my mother's birthday weekend, so I'll be around somewhere.
Shout out to Byron.
Byron. It's always a party, NFL draft. Guys, I appreciate you coming on to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk.